KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:07, we have a mostly clear sky at 75 degrees in Atlantic, and we look forward to be mostly sunny, hot, and humid today with isolated showers and thunderstorms late this afternoon, a high near 90. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Dan's Welding in Cumberland, solving Southwest Iowa's welding problems for 27 years. After nearly 30 minutes of discussion and obvious uncertainty over how tax abatement would be carried out, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening approved by a vote of 5-1 to adopt the third and final reading, the ordinance designating the 2014 Urban Revitalization Area. Councilpersons Cord, Hartkopf, Halder, Summers, and Hayes voted in favor of it. Councilman Chris Jimerson voted against the motion, while Councilperson Lori Stewart was absent from the proceedings. City Administrator Doug Harris and Mayor Dave Jones were at odds over what the city's legal position is with regard to tax abatements being retroactive to January 1st of this year for building permits obtained on and after that date. Harris said the issue isn't the ordinance itself, but its implementation. He says there is a different understanding between the key players involved in the abatement decision, those being Bob Johnston, the city's legal counsel, City Attorney Dave Wiederstein, and County Assessor Brenda Nelson.
You can say that the building permit has to be issued after January 1st, but also then it's only going to be the value that was created after today's date. And what the assessor says is, I don't know, how are you going to set the value? You know, if a house has the foundation and some studs up, what's the value of that? And then how do you get the increase in value? I mean, who's making that call? She says she doesn't have time. All she can do is base it on the value last fall that she set for January 1st. And then when she goes, and with the value is this fall, if the building permit was issued, all that would get abated. But then again, technically and legally, that doesn't really fly.
Harris said the city would be opening a can of worms. He asked the mayor, how does the city determine the increase in value of properties when building permits were issued after January 1st? And Jones said it's based on luck.
Now, again, according to Dave and the attorneys, it can't be just lucky. You can't abate value that was created prior to this date.
I mean, but we're not going to be able to flip
you
the coin.
You can do a Porsche.
We do it, Dan. We say, okay, the abatement starts tomorrow because we can pass it tonight. But what happens? So we're going to send an assessor out all over town that's assessing everything as of tomorrow?
Well, I don't know that that's really practical, but I don't know how else you're going to comply with the law.
We're looking at maybe one or two properties that are very mobile to be thinking about. If they have a building permit in 2013, they don't qualify to abatement in 2014. If they got a building permit in 2014, and we weren't really talking about abatement back then they got lucky. That's the best way you can put it.
According to the City of Atlantic's Urban Revitalization Plan, a person making improvements on an existing home located south of 14th Street will be able to apply for a 100% tax abatement of the added value up to $75,000. For new homes built south of 14th Street, the first $75,000 of tax value would be abated for a period of 5 years. Those with residences north of 14th Street, both new construction or rehabilitation, will get 100% of the taxable value abated over a period of 5 years. Duplexes would also be eligible for tax abatements under the ordinance. Commercial construction is the same throughout the entire city based on a sliding scale of up to the first $250,000 in value. It starts out at 80% of the value, then 70, 60, 50, and finally 40%. An electrical inspector with the state of Iowa has determined the Red Oak Middle School is unsafe to occupy following a water leak over the Labor Day weekend that left as much as 2 inches of water on the second floor of the more than 100-year-old structure. As a result of the inspection, the school will remain closed indefinitely or until electrical repairs are completed. The Daily Nonpareil said water leaked into electrical conduits, creating a safety hazard. Insurance is expected to pay for the repair. The leak, which was detected after an alarm was triggered, was accidental, according to Superintendent Terry Schmidt. Schmidt said he expects work will take at least 10 to 14 days, but repairs have to bring the building up to code, which creates significant variables depending on how much damage is found. Middle school students were given Tuesday and Wednesday off class as the district strived to reopen the building. The restoration was nearly finished on Tuesday afternoon, and work was called off after the electrical concerns were uncovered. The bulk of the damage was to the building's drywall. Red Oak Middle School students will return to class Monday for an orientation at the high school, while the high schoolers have the day off, and the high school staff have an in-service day. Middle schoolers will then hold classes at the adjacent Red Oak Technology Center with few shared classrooms in the high school building. Schmidt said the classes will be squeezed into places that weren't being used all day. The tech center will have used to have a higher occupancy, leaving leftover space that's available immediately. And being able to make everything work, even if it's not ideal, he said, was one of the positive outcomes from the experience. Now, the students who attend the Red Oak Middle School should report to the high school auditorium just after 8 a.m. Monday. All the students will be in class the following Tuesday. Practices for volleyball and football, meanwhile, resume today at the regular locations beginning at 3:45 p.m. In our funeral announcements, Terry Lee Sorey, age 63 of Woodbine, died Saturday. Funeral services for Terry Sorey will be today at 2 o'clock at the Fouts Funeral Home in Woodbine. Sandy Raby, age 44 of Primgar, died Saturday in Primgar. Memorial services for Sandy Raby will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Primgar. Adringa Funeral Home of Sheldon has arrangements. Richard McCauley, age 81 of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. A cremation has taken place and services for Richard McCauley will be held at a later date at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Rita Hughes Burke, age 71 of Denver, Colorado, and formerly of the Adair-Casey area, died August 23rd. Graveside services for Rita Burke will be Saturday at 11:30 at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Cemetery in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. Lucille Plummer, age 95 of Anita, died Monday. Funeral services for Lucille Plummer will be held Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Erwin Brown, age 81 of Beaumont, Texas, and formerly of Harlan, died Tuesday. An outdoor celebration of life gathering for Erwin Brown will be held at the home of Gary and Carol Robertson of Elkhorn from noon until 4 p.m. on September 20th. And Dolores Davis, age 87 of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Dolores Davis are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news was brought to you by Dan's Welding in Cumberland. Call Dan Anstey today for all of your welding and fabrication needs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.